Hi, I'm Todd Nathanson.
And I'm Lena Morgan.
This is Song Versus Song. This week, we are taking you back to the greatest year of all time, 2007. It's a great year for me, at least, because that's when I started listening to pop music for like a serious endeavor. And so this one is special to me. We are doing Buy You a Drink, Shawty Snappin' by T-Pain, featuring Young Jock, versus Smack That by Akon, featuring Eminem. And we have a special guest in the house today. It's my little brother.
Say hi, hi again. Victor. I'm back.
Hi, who?
Said hi again. I'm back.
Hello.
Oh, I see what happened.
Yeah.
Can I want to hang more of a lantern on this. Anyway, how's it going, Victor?
I just had my second kid back in December, and it's been long enough that I'm now back to work again, and that sucks. But having second kid, he's great.
Well, we brought you on here for two reasons. One, you tweeted at me that you actually love Akon, Smack That, at least. And we're trying to have at least one person take the side of one song these days. So I wanted to get you on here because I absolutely cannot defend Akon.
Okay, to be clear, you asked me to defend Akon. I will be defending Smack That. After 5 minutes of research, I will not be defending Akon.
Oh, all the memories of like the late 2000s are flooding back, huh?
It's actually something he said in an interview like 2 years ago, a year and a half ago. It's just like a 3 minute long, hilariously ignorant and sexist rant. Terrible. Just terrible.
That doesn't sound like the Akon I know, but
not your good friend Akon.
Secondly, it was going to have to be you, Victor, who defends Akon, because as it turns out, my beloved co-host here does not know these songs.
I guess 2007 was an important year for you, but for me, I guess it was important in the sense that I was in a coma. I don't know how else to explain that.
I know you know who these people are.
I do.
Like, what did you think they were famous for?
Spelunking?
I'm on a boat.
T-Pain was, he did a Wendy's commercial. No, I mean, I know both of them are. 2007 is kind of a weird year for me. Every time it comes up, it's always songs that I'm like, either I don't know them at all, or I'm like, I am vaguely aware of them in the distance. I think that like, there's like...
Yeah, that's 2002 for me.
Yeah, there's a bunch. I think everybody has got their years, and this one is certainly one for me. Like, Umbrella is this year, and like, I know that song. But like, think about it. I mean, we did Before He Cheats. Before He Cheats, I only know that song exists because you talked about it in a music video. You talked about it in a video.
Yeah, like the idea of someone not knowing Before He Cheats, like that's like was mind blowing to me. And the thought of someone not knowing Buy You a Drink, the T-Pain song. I mean, that is the T-Pain song. Like that's like it's one of the like both those songs are like two of the most influential songs of that year, of the decade, really.
Of the decade, yeah.
like we have had so many female country revenge anthems since then, and we have had, and like T-Pain changed the game.
You hear that first shot-a-yi at the beginning of Buy You a Drink, and nothing is the same.
Which is weird, because it's not T-Pain's first song.
No, but for me it was. I mean, like, 2006, 2007, I'm in like my second and third years of high school there, right?
Uh-huh. Good time to be knowing who these people are.
Yeah, I'm just starting to be aware of pop music because I am starting to drive. I have access to the radio on my own now, right? Like, I'm not relying on, you know, CD drops from you or the radio controlled by my parents anymore. Right. So the general zeitgeist of pop music was something that I was becoming much more aware of then. So even though T-Pain had prior songs, never heard of him before Buy You a Drink. And even though Akon had locked up a song that I would have been able to quote to you at any point since it came out, I never knew who it was by. so I had no idea who Akon was before Smack That.
It's interesting because neither of them were debuting in 2007. I knew who both of them were, but I feel like they were much different during those first few hits. Like, Akon's thing was entirely different. Akon was like the guy who was like singing about like the rough life on the streets and in prison.
Yeah.
Like, Akon, they won't let me out. And he has a song, his song after that was called Ghetto, and it did not exactly smash my preconceptions about the ghetto. Like, he was like the serious street guy about, you know, and not like a party guy. And then T-Pain debuted like a year after that in 05, and he had I'm Sprung, and he had I'm In Love With a Stripper. And I feel like, I mean, the subject matter is pretty similar, but it's different in that those songs suck. Both those songs are terrible.
Yeah, I went back and listened to them today, and I was just like, yeah, no, I don't need these.
Yeah, so like before 2007, I would have said Akon was clearly, I wasn't in love with Akon, but like Akon was like a serious artist, and T-Pain was, you know, a guy whom I was not a fan of at all. And I don't know when that changed for me, because like when Buy You a Drink came on, I wouldn't turn it off. So I was like, eh, that's fine. And Akon was like pumping out hits all the goddamn time.
Yeah, just and, massive album for him.
Yeah, and like people forget how big Akon were. People forget how big both of them were. Like, they had all the fucking songs between 2007 and 2008.
At one point, Smack That was kept out of the top spot by I Wanna Fuck You. Akon had the number one and number two song in the country.
I want to believe he had like the number four song also, because like Don't Matter was like
was climbing.
Nobody
at the time.
Wanna see us together, but it don't matter. No,
I and, got you, babe.
Yeah, I like all these songs, and it is weird to see that these two guys who were omnipresent in 2007 just do not survive into the 2010s.
I have not thought about Akon outside of Smack That and I Wanna Fuck You since 2007. Like, those two songs are the only things that survive for him for me.
I don't hear those songs ever anymore.
Oh, I do, because they're on my playlists. But oh. Yeah, but no, that just, I did after Sweet Escape, like I just, and I guess Sexy Bitch. I saw
Sexy
that
Bitch was
in
the
his
last
discography,
one.
And I was like, oh, right, yeah, that was Akon. I don't remember that well, but I guess that was the last time I heard anything from him.
Sweet Escape, a track that Gwen Stefani didn't even want to do. Like, she was like, I think she described herself as being in, like, the pregnancy bubble, and she had no idea who Akon was. And they were like, Akon's going to do this track with you. And she was like, who? What? No. And she canceled the appointment she was supposed to have to meet up with him. And like somebody called her up from the label and was like, you can cancel anything else you want in your life. You're not canceling this.
Of all
it's
things.
Pretty wild, because the thing is, like, while he was obviously pretty influential on that track, like, he's not really on that track.
Yeah. He's other it's than the woohoo yeehoo. And what else woo! Is he there for?
Yeah. It's weird to have like a guy as big as Akon was in 2007, and he doesn't have like a verse or anything. He's just like there to provide background vocals. He's a backup singer.
Yeah, but I think he was a big part of writing that track, wasn't he?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Even though it
sure.
doesn't really sound like, you don't listen to him and listen to that and go, man, that's so Akon.
Let's say he sold that one off for a reason. Like, I can't really imagine him singing it, but
A big hit for her. I feel like it's relevant to mention that was a successful song for her, for sure.
And I think it deserved to be a hit. It has a big sound. It demands your attention, but it is also not an Akon song at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Akon was like a guy who I was never like really affectionate for, but like I would never turn him off. He didn't have any songs I particularly disliked, except the two you mentioned, the two that are still on your playlist. Those songs are fucking ass, man.
I cannot. There is something in me that refuses to dislike the opening like 10 seconds of both of those songs so much that like everything else I just ignore. Like, the song is good because the beats are good. And I will get down to those beats every day of the week, and the lyrics, just let them happen. Just don't worry about it.
I was never a fan of the beat to Smack That, but for me, like, the lyrics are rough, and I don't mean because, he's talking about having sex, it's an R&B song, who gives a fuck? Let me just read the fucking rhymes here. Let me pull it up. Okay. I feel you creeping. I can see it from my shadow. Want to jump in my Lamborghini Gallardo, which is not how that's pronounced, by the way. Like, maybe go to my place and just kick it like Tybo. This is awkward. These songs, not a rhyme. Where's my not a rhyme button?
Not a rhyme.
Well, wait a minute. You've talked such shit, but like, what's the spread here?
Like, it's. I mean, Victor's defending Akon, and I'm by default picking T-Pain, but like, I didn't think I'd have to say that because I've just like everyone would pick T-Pain, right? Like, big other divergence in their careers. Like, I mean, they were both big around the same time. They both stopped being big around the same time, but. You know, in 2024, 15 years after they had their last hit, people are much more fond of T-Pain. People, no one wants Akon back. No one is nostalgic for Akon. It's weird. Am I right?
It's an interesting trajectory, isn't it? Listen, I want to say something very quickly. It's, because everyone assumes that I have no opinions about this because I didn't really know these songs. However, important facts to know. Fact the first. When T-Pain was talking about his song, he went on a social media site to explain how the song came to be. The social media site was, of course, Bebo, a social media website that I had never fucking heard of before in my life, except I remember it getting a name drop in the first season in 2005 of Doctor Who. And I assumed it was a thing they'd made up. This is very important information. Meanwhile, the music video that Akon does is supposed to be like a remake of 48 Hours, where he's in the Eddie Murphy role, and in the Nick Nolte role is Eric Roberts, who plays a character called The Master in a 1990s TV movie for an old British TV show called Doctor Who. So you think that I'm not close enough to these things, but what I'm here to tell you is I'm too close to be able to explain how I feel about either of these songs.
I feel like this would have been a hard one to get to Star Trek like you always do in every episode.
Yeah, so I found the other option. Just like I almost was tempted to say.
I don't believe in the no-win scenario, says Lena.
I was so close to being like, clearly the winner of this is Bartender. Yeah, but it absolutely fucking isn't, to be clear.
I mean, I like Bartender. I think I like it more than Buy You a Drink, but not for like good reasons. The same way I'm defending Smack That, not for good reasons.
I'm going to say here that Bartender is, for those who don't remember 2007, it is a T-Pain song featuring Akon.
Mm-hmm.
Because T-Pain was on Akon's label.
Yeah, they're intrinsically connected to each other. Bartender is their best song.
Oh, really?
I don't know. Absolutely.
I don't know if I can get behind that.
I love Bartender. Like, it feels good. It feels right for T-Pain. It feels right for Akon.
Yeah.
I agree, but... if that's your guess episode over, because the answer is Bartender.
Everyone wins.
There you go. I don't know, man.
The winner is Shake That.
Here's what I'm going to say about these artists. Number one, T-Pain, as you so wisely pointed out, has, especially in the last couple of years, kind of turned it around, right? Because everybody hated him because he, like, people blamed him for auto-tune. Wasn't it like Usher said he, like, ruined music? Like, they were on a plane once and he was like, thanks for ruining music.
He's gotten a lot of mileage out of that story.
He has gotten a lot of mileage. But like, I'd watched, there was a Netflix series about music and he told the story there. And then he also kind of talked about how he was going out and touring and doing, like, stuff where he wasn't using auto-tune because he was singing live and he was just singing and people were like, wow, T-Pain can sing. And like, didn't he do like a Black Sabbath song or something like recently? War
recently, yes.
Yeah.
Did War Pigs. He did. No, I that covers album is interesting, I guess. It's fun. He does Tennessee Whiskey, which is I don't think you should do Tennessee Whiskey. And he should cover that one anymore. He does Don't Stop Believing and Stay With Me. Like,
I think it's very important to keep in mind that whilst he has done these things that have kind of refreshed his career a little bit, that
it certainly refreshed his image.
It has. However, I think it's very important to point out the following fact, which is if you go and click on T-Pain on Spotify right now, and you look and see what hit the song is that he or whoever has decided, whoever is like in charge of his Spotify account is like, this is the song that you should hear. Why, it's a very recent song of his called Been Like This, which is not actually song of his, but instead is a song that he's featured on, and it is a song by Meghan Trainor.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, if there's no way you can spoil Goodwill, quite like featuring on a Trainor track.
Yeah, I was just clicking through T-Pain headlines, you know, from recently, and I saw that, and I was just like, oh no,
if you haven't heard it,
into this,
I don't know if I want to say it's even worse than, it's bad though. It's, I mean, like, it's a Trainor track. It's, you know, she doesn't do good music, but like, it's just T-Pain, you came so far. Like, why are you throwing it all away like this? Because at least like Akon, like I hear his voice and I'm like, I don't know. You sound like Adam Levine. That's an automatic hatred from me. Am I crazy? No, to me, he sounds like Adam Levine.
No, there was
Adam Levine about, with a different accent. I don't know. Maybe. Like,
no, there's about like, you know, 5 years ago, there was a up and coming rapper who was like a humongous T-Pain fan. And he was like, was getting some tracks, like sampling T-Pain, getting him, you know, getting some shine back on him, getting, you know, sampling his track, getting him on the Hot 100, not huge, but like, so like, it was good to see someone in T-Pain's corner. That person was Tory Lanez. Okay. And yeah, right
Holy
after
shit.
Right after the incident, T-Pain was like, so I have this track I've been working on with the guy. Do I release this? I was like, I don't think he ended up releasing it.
It was
like asking on Twitter.
Oh, I like this idea. Like, no, just, I don't. I reject that. I assume that he called you, Todd, up on the phone and was like, hey, T-Odd. Like,
I can't believe I've never been called that before.
I did it. Well, you guys have fun doing the rest of the episode. I'm done.
Yeah.
just drop mic.
No. I watched both T-Pain and Akon's Behind the Music back when they were trying to keep that going. I think it was like the last batch of episodes they did. And T-Pain is a man with a lot of pain in his life. You would never have guessed from listening to his music. But like, he's like, there goes a lot in there about his relationship with his piece of shit dad, and it's rough. And I was like, man, you're just a cuddly teddy bear, T-Pain. Meanwhile, Akon has like a lot of pain in his life. He's talking about like his time in prison, his attempts to go straight, disappointing his family and all that shit and all that stuff. And like, man, Akon, I think you're a piece of shit. Like, just something about the way you talk, I don't like you. I don't like you at all. And I feel like
that's just
is like
Adam Levine, Todd. I was right.
Yeah, and for the record, like, there's a lot of talk about how Akon may have like just entirely made up his criminal background too. So,
yeah, claims have been disputed, and I whatever.
Whatever. I mean, this is his chance. Go shoot Meg in the foot, I guess. Like, maybe T-Pain will do another song with you and never release it.
Yeah, no, Akon, like, his whole thing was like, I'm a convict. That's why he goes, convict, at the beginning of all his songs.
That's why his label is Convict Music. That's why his second album is named Convicted. Like,
right. His thing is like, yeah, I was in a gang of car thieves. We were like, and I did 2 years in prison. And then it was like, there was like research that it's like, no, you didn't. And his cover's like, I didn't say concurrently. Like,
look, I know his pedigree. Ex-dealer, used to move phetamines.
Is that which song is that? I don't.
I want to fuck you. It's in there.
Okay, yeah, I can hear it in my head. But like, I don't know. I feel like no one talks about Akon anymore. Like, for as big as he was, like, people talk about T-Pain all the time. Akon has that Lady Gaga money. He discovered Lady Gaga.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
he gets a giant chunk of that. In fact, he's on Lady Gaga's first song.
He's on Just Dance.
Yeah.
It's wild because he's not the guest rapper on that song. It's a different guest rapper, but he's also on the song for some reason.
Yeah, well, it's like, it's my label. I found him. So I don't know if he gets a chunk of T-Pain's royalties also, but like, off that Gaga money, he doesn't have to do shit. And I don't think he does. Plus, he had all that fucking scandals during his time in the spotlight. He just picked up a dude and like chucked him WWE style into the crowd, like some guy, like a heckler or something. He's like, hey, come up here, get up on stage. And he gets up on stage and he like launches him across the crowd. I think he was okay.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing that's like, I guess you'd be like, man, this is going to make me seem real badass in the moment.
Yeah.
And not like a real fucking asshole. Holy shit. I mean, if ever he wanted to come back, I mean, he's talked about this because, I think in the last couple of years, he was kind of talking about how Eminem had come on the track and how it was that M ended up producing it. Because like at the time, at least M was not really a producer. It's not really like a thing that he did a lot. But supposedly they had recorded, I think, like four or five other songs. And supposedly Akon like still has them and could just release them at some point, say. So maybe he'll do that at some point and none of the songs will be good, but he'll get a little notoriety because they're like lost M tracks.
Maybe, but if we're going to take it back to the songs really quick.
Why?
These are rough guest verses.
Yeah, so which one has the worst guest verse?
For me, like, Young Jock's verse is there. Like, the big problem with the Young Jock verse is it's from Young Jock, and who the fuck cares about Young Jock?
The flow is just so, like, slow and, like, almost lazy sounding that it feels like it's, like, two beats behind all the time.
Yeah, that's right. That's fair. I would still take it over Eminem's verse where, like, maybe just because, like, I have expectations of Eminem, or at least I still did in 2007, but woof. My God.
He's, like, trying real hard to do his Eminem, like, without me thing, and it's just not the same in 2007. It really is not.
The first line is, looks like another club banger. And I can just hear the boredom in it. It's like, looks like another club banger.
But it's wild because apparently, like, he is the primary songwriter on this song. He produced it. Like, it was, like, almost his idea in entirety.
It's so, like, well, I mean, this is Eminem during his, the roughest point in his life where he was, like, barely functioning, right? Like, I believe that is... I mean, it's between Encore and
Recovery.
What's the shitty one?
No,
Relapse. Relapse is the
Relapse
shitty one.
And then Recovery. Yeah,
which is also the shitty one, as is every subsequent Eminem album. But I don't know. Eminem being horny has always been a mistake. He has never. He's never done it well.
But for some reason, sometimes it still produces songs that I like way more than I should.
Like what?
Like this and Shake That.
I like Shake That. I shouldn't like Shake That.
Like, a Shake That is objectionable. It is, but also that beat and Nate Dogg, and I just can't. I can't resist it.
That's wild. Mean, so you got Smack That. Uh-huh. You got Shake That.
Both Eminem songs.
Both Eminem produced songs.
No, here's my question. Did he ever complete the trilogy and do Bop That?
Pull That.
Thank you.
That's a good joke.
Good night, everybody. Fade back into
that. Yeah. Just don't talk for 10 minutes. Come in to drop just that. Leave again.
Drop that.
Like it's hot.
Akon has been surprisingly easy to drop from the cultural memory banks, and somehow Buy You a Drink by T-Pain has just only grown in stature for me. Like when I think of that year, when I think of like that 5 years, T-Pain's Buy You a Drink is like the song I think of more than Umbrella, more than even Low by T-Pain. Welcome back to the show, T-Pain, by the way.
Mm-hmm. And that's correct.
Like that is like a moment in time. Even right. though like it's almost like not much of a song, really. It's kind of like stitched together from pieces of other songs. There are a lot of references there that no one remembers.
Yeah, no, Walk It Out.
Yeah, who the fuck cares about Walk It Out? Who the fuck cares about Young Jock? Who the fuck cares about Snap Music? And even at the time, I think that was on its way out.
But
think about it. Oh, snap.
It created T-Pain's legacy forever. In the same way that Lil Jon is permanently associated with Krunk, right? You think Krunk, yeah. You immediately think Lil Jon. You think heavy auto-tune, you immediately think T-Pain.
Yeah, and you know, I was never on the anti-auto-tune bandwagon. I was never a guy who was like, man, auto-tune sucks and we're bad for... Especially for T-Pain, because he was obviously using it as a style, as a stylistic thing, and not just a way to cover up like bad singing. Like that when people were angry about autotune, they weren't angry at T-Pain, I feel like, but like T-Pain lazy was autotune, so you would have to be angry at him if you were angry at autotune. Jay-Z wrote a whole song called Death of Autotune. I don't think he succeeded though.
Rumors wildly exaggerated.
Yeah, like people are still using auto-correct or auto-pitch, pitch correction.
People still like Autobots, you know? I mean, yeah. Things don't change.
Victor, why do you think Buy You a Drink has lasted so long? Or at least longer than Akon?
I don't know exactly, and I'm not... Okay, to be clear, in case it wasn't obvious just from the sound of my voice, I have never once set foot in a club, right?
Victor, I've set foot in a club, like...
Why would I need to? I've been married since I was 15.
It wasn't both of them, and we both know it.
I mean, I set foot in there, and then I got kicked out because I didn't fit the dress code. But,
I'd like to joke that I have literally never been single. I've essentially been married since I was 15, right? Like,
that is
married
correct.
My high school sweetheart.
Say hi for me, by the way.
Oh, okay. I will. Yeah. I've never set foot in a club. I do not dance well. I dance a lot. I don't dance well. The legacy of these songs, as far as their like actual intended purpose, the lyrical content, things like that, mean almost nothing to me.
Yeah, so no, I've never heard the song at a club. My rare appearances in the club.
Trying to figure out why Buy You a Drink has lasted, though, I think it's just that those opening, like that Shaddai at the beginning, just becoming so iconic. Like, yeah, like, that's the auto-tune sound. You put that at the beginning of your auto-tune song.
Shaddai, Shaddai, yeah. No, that's I'm on a boat. Excuse me.
There wasn't I'm on a boat for obvious reasons. There's an entire YouTube channel about auto-tuning that just uses it constantly. Like,
what channel is that?
Shmoyoho? Accent on the Yo?
Oh, that's you, the Gregory Brothers.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, I don't know. That track's just smooth. I always thought that was the reason. You know, I just think that thing, like, it, if you listen to both of them back and forth, I don't know, man. T-Pain's just got something.
It
to me, like there is that groove that it gets in that feels like
makes you snap.
The way he dances, the way you imagine T-Pain dancing, where he rocks back and everything like that. The song sounds like that. It evokes that.
Yeah, I cannot believe we turned on this man because we did. He seems like such a nice guy. He makes such good music.
Yeah, I couldn't find like a single negative thing said about him anywhere. Like,
no, imagine being the guy who dislikes T-Pain as a person. Like, maybe, you know, maybe you're not into R&B, but like, he could take you to a mansion somewhere in Wisconsin. Like, that's the kind of like charm that Akon just never had. I mean, like, and also like Akon seems like a dick. He seemed, I don't know what you heard or like what you said he said in like 2 years ago.
Oh, it's like,
I assume it's bad.
It's like vile sexist stuff. Like, you know, like in Africa, women know their roles. There's no dissonance between the men and women who don't know what their roles are supposed to be. You know, like
the classic stuff. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and also he suggested or outright stated one or the other. I can't quite remember that women are not necessary for procreation, that you could put sperm in an incubator and get children, which is just like, what the fuck?
This is
I don't think the science bears out at all, actually.
No.
Are you microwaving
your...
No,
I'm not a doctor.
Akon, are you microwaving
your... Clearly, neither is Akon.
Akon, are you microwaving your seed and expecting a baby to come out of there?
He took one in the oven, literally. Like,
he actually fucked a pie and thought, me and that pie.
I mean, like, I would be surprised if we got even like one vote for Akon. Like, and he's made some decent music.
Part of the reason that I like Smack That and I Want to Fuck You so much is because they feel deeply unserious, and like Eminem and Snoop Dogg understand this, but Akon doesn't really.
Yeah,
that's
like, that's
the vibe
what
I get from them.
Yeah, like T-Pain always just seemed to be having more fun. He was like a happy guy who was having fun. And Akon always seemed like a guy who was like trying to have fun, but like you like smudge his sneaker or something and he'll like try and knock your teeth out. Like, he's just like on edge all the time. So I couldn't, like, when he's going to smack that, he's going to smack you.
That's a weirdly aggressive, like, pickup line too. Possibly bend you over, look back and watch me smack that.
Here's what I find that to
whoa,
be.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
It's just not, it's very unoriginal.
Yeah, it's like,
I was like, Akon, did you discover doggy style in 2007? Lord, man, you got a lot of catching up to do. I don't know. Look, you're right about T-Pain. He is more fun, and here's how I know. Remember how I mentioned that Wendy's thing?
Yes.
You know, the Wendy's commercial was a parody of this song that he did himself.
I mean, he's got to make that money.
It's called Buy You a Frosty. And there's a video for it. And at the end of that video, he's just sitting at a table full of empty Frosty like cups. And then a woman walks up to him and says, T-Pain, sir, this is a Wendy's.
Jesus.
And he goes, oh, you're right. My bad. And he like tries to like gather up all the cups as he leaves.
I don't like laughing at commercials, but I'll give him that one.
That's, you have to respect that.
I absolutely
I just
do
have so
that.
Much respect for T-Pain for doing that. Like, that's like the opposite of the Applebee's commercial. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Yeah, we all know.
Yeah,
what you mean.
The exact inverse. Yeah.
Now rock. Boy, it's all coming back now. 2007. I can hear Soulja Boy in my head. I can hear Timbaland in my head.
Yeah, did you know Smack That was nominated for a Grammy for Best Rap Song Collaboration? It did not win. You know what won that year?
What?
My Love by Justin Timberlake featuring T.I.
That's true.
Oh,
yep.
I mean, we can.
Also, one of the songs that kept Smack That out of the number one spot.
Can I say, while we're talking about that, that's a real three-way race for worst rap verse on the...
Also, let's just remind ourselves how awards work, because it's not the best thing that wins, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Are you ready for this? Here we go. For example, in the 1996 Primetime Emmy Awards, outstanding makeup for a series went to this episode of a television show called Threshold, where a man slowly turned into like a giant catfish.
Yes, I know which one you're talking about, and congratulations, you got there.
And that's right, motherfucker. That show was Star Trek Voyager. Lena, out!
Not the smoothest segue, but you did it. You did it.
Take a drink.
Yes.
You buy me a drink.
I will say that buy you a drink also serves because it hooks really hard on that line. Like, that line is the song. T-Pain hits it and it sticks in your head forever.
It really has. It's, you know, it's 17 years later and I can still go, let me buy you a drink. Paul, if you can hear me, like put auto-tune on that when you are over. I mean,
yeah, you sang that off key on purpose.
Use the T-Pain setting.
Yeah, I do T-Pain at karaoke sometimes, but it's just never the same.
You just don't have the setup.
No, like imagine the guy who can like do the T-Pain voice naturally. That's a.
I frequently find myself trying to do like vocoder stuff naturally, like Daft Punk stuff naturally.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd ever attempt to do the T-Pain thing naturally.
I mean, I don't know what else, like it's shocking because like Buy You a Drink, it really does not feel like much of a song. It's very spare and it doesn't like have a super amount of memorable lines. It just has a memorable presence in your head. Like it is like one of the defining songs of that decade. Like if you put out a list of like the most important songs of the 2000s and you somehow missed Buy You a Drink, you screwed up. You messed up there.
It was such a massive like meteor into the musical landscape. I can't describe it any other way, even though I don't have any evidence to like on hand to back that up. Just know it. I know it.
Versus, like, I don't think any Akon song really quite has. Like, he was a guy who made a few songs that we heard a bunch of times. And, like, it might just be, like, him being unlikable and, like, having no need to put himself out there because he has, you know, he has all the money in the world now. But it feels like those songs where he, like, never anything special. You have, like, strong feelings about Who's That Girl or Right Now, Nah, Nah, or Dangerous. Do you even remember which of these songs I'm talking about?
A single note or line from those. Yeah, I have no idea. Like I said, after Convicted, like,
do you know if I'm? Do you know that I made them up or not? Like, are you sure I didn't?
And I just read Akon singles discography. I just read it, like, and I still don't know whether or not you made those up.
Like for me, it was Sorry, Blame It on Me that like permanently like ended any good feelings I had about Akon. The one where he was like, I apologize for all these things I did. And they weren't apologies at all. Like, it's like the worst apology song I've ever heard. And I have heard so many.
You've heard Sorry by Justin Bieber.
Yes. You know, but like if I were to make a song of like the least convincing apology song, Sorry, Blame It on Me by Akon would be right at number one.
Oof.
Yeah. Well, I think there's only so much we can say about T-Pain and Akon. Do you want to? Does anyone else have anything to add before we get into the viewer comments?
I mean, is there any part of Smack that you would be like, that this is the best part of that song?
No, it's all bad, including the beat, Victor. What the hell are you talking about?
I think like, Eminem is underappreciated as a producer, and I love that beat.
I can't get there with you. Like Smack, the other one, Shake That. That I will defend because Nate Dogg is much better than Akon. Oh, yeah.
Shake That is a categorically superior song to Smack That. I'm not going to argue that.
I don't know, man. You don't think Smack That goes hard? If by goes hard, you mean like someone was about to go hard, but then they like took a Quaalude.
And they fell asleep.
Boom. Yeah. All right. You want to do the four questions? Is it four question time?
All right. We do that first.
Yeah.
I've been doing this for 6 years and I still never...
We do this thing where after we talk a lot of shit, apparently in this case, we try to wrap it all up in a bow with four questions that sort of just give us a focus. The first question is a question of history. One of these songs is going to stick around forever. The other one's going to vanish like it was never here in the first place. For the culture victor, which one of these songs has
to buy you a drink by a fucking mile?
Yeah, like we don't even have to answer that. Like the
entire conversation we just had. Yeah.
Yes, history has answered this question for us.
But also, literally, we just talked for 45 minutes to answer that question.
Right.
All right, question number two. You could be a fly on the wall. You can experience soup to nuts, the entirety, whole creation of one and only one of these two songs, up to and including the music video. Todd, which one do you want to know how the sausage got made?
I kind of want to see Smack That get made.
I mean, I agree.
For one, an all-time great Eric Roberts performance.
I do love him. It evokes Mr. Brightside vibes also. Love
yeah,
him.
Like apparently he was on a run in the mid-2000s of being in music videos. Like, this man has an Oscar nomination.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he is the star of like the 56th best David Dakota movie, A Talking Cat.
Yes, David Dicoteau.
Yes.
All right, however he's pronounced, I don't know. He was the titular Talking Cat in The Talking Cat. He was the bad guy in Mr. Brightside. He's the bad guy in We Belong Together by Mariah Carey. He's the good guy in this.
He does not belong in We Belong Together. Like that's a weird casting.
Well, he's the just like in Mr. Brightside, he's like the third guy who does not belong together with she belongs with Wentworth Miller.
That is weird. You got Wentworth in here.
I think I might want to sit in on Buy You a Drink because of the story that T-Pain told about it on Hot Ones that I read, where he says that after he made it, he was so proud of it, he ran into Chris Brown's studio, showed it to Chris Brown. Chris Brown was like, "That is fire. I want it for my next album." And T-Pain was like, "Oh, yeah, sure, man. Whatever you want." This motherfucker's never hearing the song again.
Oh, yeah. One of Chris Brown's best songs is a T-Pain song also. So,
Freeze, yeah.
Like, oh, man, this guy's got real bad luck with collaborators.
I'll tell you, definitely watch the music video for that new Meghan Trainor song.
No, oh man, no, I don't know if I can
watch. I can't believe that both of you didn't investigate this.
I did not have time to subject myself to that.
I'm going to do it right now. Been Like okay. This by Meghan Trainor and T-Pain.
Do it, Victor. Do it for the podcast.
Yeah, we're going to pause here for 3 minutes. Oh my God. Oh, this is rough.
Oh yeah.
We're going to pause here for 3 minutes while we sit here and watch this, and we're going to cut back when it's done. This is brutal. This is brutal. I don't know if we're going to keep this part of me just reacting into the podcast, but I'm watching this now, and this is awful.
It sure is a Meghan Trainor track.
I'm going to turn this off. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I can't. I fucking can't.
I just, you know, here's the thing. How many times has Meghan Trainor shown up in a worst of the year video for you, Todd?
Is it three. Like four at this three. Point? Three?
No, it's only three, I believe, because...
Going for four, baby. Going for four.
No, four appearances in 3 years, so...
I don't know, man. This is pretty atrocious. Well, like I watched this and I was like, I don't know if there's something newly bad about this that would merit you going back to the well again, but I don't know. It really depends on how the rest of the year plays out. That's pretty horrific.
Here's hoping it doesn't even fucking qualify.
Oh my God. What were we talking about?
Chris Brown music videos. I think it's interesting just that T-Pain, like, if you were going to argue in favor of seeing him make the song, it's kind of the one and only time that he's ever officially said, like, yeah, like, I need a hit.
Yeah.
A thing that supposedly he doesn't usually do and that he felt really uncomfortable doing it. But that makes me not want to see it. I don't want to see T-Pain in T-Pain, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
look, the turmoil is what makes for the great story.
Yeah. I don't want that for him. I kind of
want
to see the Akon one getting made just because, like, see what Eminem was like during his lowest moments.
Oh, Yeah,
it's like, dark, like how bad was it exactly? Like if I'm mostly I just want a rubberneck.
All right, fair enough. Yeah. All right, question number three, and a bit of a weird one because of some of the context you provided, Todd. But Megan Thee Stallion, she's gonna make a playlist, a hot girl playlist. She's gonna listen to it before she gets up to a night of hot girl shit, as she does. One and only one of these songs is going on the playlist. Which one for all time is hot girl shit?
I mean, I think it just comes down to personal preference here. Because I like T-Pain more, but like. They both occupy pretty similar spots, and if Megan herself came and said, "Like, no, I'm actually going to jam to Akon," I wouldn't be surprised.
I feel like it depends on how aggressive you want to be on your night of hot girl shit.
Yeah,
the Smack That's a fucking aggressive song, and Bayou Drank isn't. Bayou Drank is smooth.
Yeah,
it is. Now on the one hand, Akon apparently said that you could microwave your sperm into a baby and like hashtag no ma'am. Like he joined the Al Bundy no women society sometime in the last like 10, 15 years. But on the other hand, again, I guess Tory Lanez, but he didn't release the track. So yeah. I don't know.
I don't know that he didn't release the track. I know I didn't hear about it.
Okay. I thought you said that it didn't happen. I thought he didn't actually.
I don't actually know. I don't know.
Okay. Well, to me, the answer to that question is the answer to this question.
Like, I know Jerry Sprunger, I know, did get released. And then that was before Tory Lanez disgraced himself. There's another one. Go to album.
Get your roll on.
No, that's before. That's also before. No, I don't think it made it out into the world.
Yeah, I don't see anything else.
Well, there you go. Out of spite, I'm going to say then, given that he didn't release that track, I think T-Pain's the winner.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
I don't know. I don't have a better metric for this.
Yeah.
Like T-Pain did the right thing. He did right by Meg.
All right. So
question number four,
right?
Most important question, not just of the podcast, but just the most important question in the history of human creation. William Shatner, thespian, equestrian, singer. We're going to give it to him. He's going to do a William Shatner version of one and only one of these two songs. Victor, which one of these songs must be shat upon?
That is a hard fucking question.
I know. This is maybe the hard. This is great.
I'm
thrilled.
I'm like, I'm imagining Shatner having to sing, "Take you to the crib, show you how I live.
How I live."
Oh, he would.
Get drunk.
He would.
Forget what we did. But also, just any line from the Eminem verse, trying to hold my Woody back through my drawers.
whichever one you pick, I think it is imperative that Shatner do it auto-tuned.
Here's the thing. Like, if Akon wins this, I want to be, because sometimes we say, it would be young Shatner, right? Like, mm-hmm. It's transformed man era Shatner. But I want to be very clear that if we're going to have him do M's, like, really, like, unpleasant horny verse, it's got to be, like, 90-year-old Shatner. Yeah.
Yes.
That's of critical importance here. And in fact, now that I've said that, I'm going to give this one to Akon.
Get Denny Lane doing Eminem's verse. Denny Crane? Denny Crane.
Yeah. Denny Lane is a member of Wings.
That's correct. I keep dancing around a Wings track because every time, you know, it's buy me a drink, I'm like, drink to me. Drink to my health.
Don't know that one.
You know I can't. Oh, really? It's off of Band on the Run.
Oh.
We've done an episode about it.
I don't actually know anything about music.
I think the song's called Picasso's Last Words.
Okay. I don't know.
It's not a popular track off of that one. Sorry. Yeah. I mean, there you go. I've managed now to get I got Star Trek in, I got Doctor Who in, and I got a Paul McCartney trivia fact.
You didn't get the, you're welcome, you didn't get like the big one, though. And I don't think we're going to get to New Jersey, but.
Oh, no. Well, it's fine.
Where's Akon from?
St. Louis and then Senegal and then back to America.
Yeah. Okay. St. Louis with hanging out with Nelly and or Sadio Mane in Senegal. I came up with the name. All right. Well, we got that. Let's see what our listeners thought. Listener comments. All right. Vince Whitaker writes, the answer is never Akon. All right.
Straight to the point.
Yes. All right.
See, we talked for like 50 minutes.
Yeah, and that guy,
we didn't even
Vince.
Need to.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that was also funnier than anything we said.
Yeah. All right. Jenna H. writes, my husband spent a week in New Orleans after Katrina volunteering for Habitat for Humanity, and there was a little boy in the neighborhood who would come outside and turn his boombox on, and his sole goal was to find which station was playing Buy You a Drink. And he did this all day, every day for a week, and my husband still isn't sick of it. So I think that's a testament to the staying power and endurance of Shoddy Snappin'.
This is the coolest kid that's ever lived.
I wish I had that kind of gumption.
Also, let us like point out, like, the, like, that is exactly what 2007 was like. You just turn it on, you find out which station is playing Buy You a Drink because it's on one of them.
Oh yeah, listen, you gotta be careful with the boombox. A boombox is not a toy.
Yeah,
my it's always on every station is Bad Romance in 2010 and 2011.
Yeah, that's
my benchmark.
For me, it was Drive by Incubus in 2002 or 2001. I think that was when I first got a car, and it was always on. All right, Near Revel writes, I'm going to quote the most popular comment on Buy You a Drink's music video on YouTube. Is it just me, or is T-Pain's forehead hella smooth? Truly, that is everything that needs to be said about this matchup.
It's as smooth as the track, and the track's smooth as hell. Yes.
I will say I noticed the same thing, and then looking at the video, I'm like, everybody in this video looks like they're under an Instagram filter. Every single one of them. So I don't know if it's natural or not.
All right. Lanth writes, yeah, just looking at the titles tells me that neither of these songs are for me. I'll be back for the next Jill Sabule matchup.
Yeah!
James Smith writes, 2-1 from the 1-3 party vote for Shake That. All right. ZZ writes, why does that Akon and MM song have such a big middle schoolers pretending to be 22-year-olds energy?
That's what Eminem does best.
Yeah, he's still a middle schooler at heart.
Like, whether he's angry or being a fucking goofball, it's the same. It's a middle schooler trying to act like he's older.
Yeah. Clever Name Here writes, the wannabe Eminem who rapped on Cascada's Evacuate the Dance Floor slapped harder than Eminem in this song, and that's embarrassing. Woo. Yeah, I for the longest time, I thought that was actually Eminem on Evacuate the Dance Floor. It is not. All right. Kyle Boyd writes, meme, two panels. First panel, a woman sits in an office approached by T-Pain. He says, I'm T-Pain, you know me. She is enthralled. Second panel, the same woman, approached by Akon. He says, smack that till you get store. And she makes a phone call, hello, human resources.
Yep. Yep.
I knew halfway through where that was going, and it was still funny. Yes.
Acceptable. Not acceptable.
All right. Yeah. All right. Michael Murphy writes, in light of the quick and overwhelming victory, each patron should raise a glass of Patron to T-Pain. All right. Franco Del Rosario writes, why does the beat to Smack That sound so menacing, like a horror movie soundtrack? May as well be called Stab That. It sounds like LMFAO wrote the theme to Psycho.
Not wrong on any count. Still love it.
Yeah, that is
I mean, also, the answer is that M produced it.
That's that is Eminem's wheelhouse.
Venom!
Venom. All right, one last one. Time Bomb Man writes, I'm trying to find the words to describe these songs without being disrespectful.
Oh, I wouldn't have gotten that before literally today.
Had you never heard that song?
I had. There's not a single chance I would have remembered that lyric before today listening to it again.
Oh, well, I'm trying to not be disrespectful, so let us go to the final vote. Victor, Lena, who who do you think won and by how much?
What a mystery.
Yeah, it's Buy You a Drink 2-1.
2-1, so 33-66?
Yeah.
All right.
I think it's going to be bigger than that, but we'll see.
For a total of 264 to 412, that is a 39-61% split.
Wow.
We do, in fact, buy you a drink, but that is still way closer than I thought it was going to be. That is astonishingly closer. 264 people voted for Akon in the Akon.
I was one of them. I will say that. So 263 people other than me.
I mean, I'm going to go to your house and smack that. I'm going to smack you in the face, Victor. I don't. What? I'm shocked. I'm okay. You made your choice. I mean, the right person still won, but I mean, that was more of a squeaker than I wanted it to be. And that's, you know, it's still a decent amount, but
I mean,
I still don't think that's a justifiable.
The meme I posted to signal my support was the Jeremy Clarkson going, "This is brilliant. But I like this." I recognize that this is not objectively the correct choice. But it's where I stand. I can't help it.
All right. Well, that was Song versus Song. If you want more of us and you've already plowed through all our episodes, you can go to Patreon where we do a bonus episode where we review movies one a month. And this month, you guys made us watch fucking Tar, which we will have to get to at some point. I love.
Oh, is it that far out ahead? I haven't checked in a while.
Hold on. We're going to pause here and make sure that's that's actually true.
I mean,
it was when
opportunities
I checked.
For voting still exist. You could still vote.
Yeah, like if a bunch of you want to switch our vote, it's way ahead. It's going to be Tar.
It's going to be what now?
Tar, starring Lydia Tar. You got winner Lydia Tar. It's about cancel culture or something.
You've tweeted about Tar.
Yeah, I love Tar.
Now people can hear you talk about it. You can talk those tweets.
Yeah, wow. And you will actually have to force your way through the rest of Tar. Because you,
man, I keep voting for Human Highway, and it just keeps not happening.
Well, like nothing says you can't lobby for it if you want to.
Yeah. Well, I think I just did.
Yeah. Maybe someday, maybe for the next one, because I believe it will be up in the poll. But this month we're going to watch Tar, and if you want to know what we thought about that We Are the World documentary, that was our last one, and we have done so much. We watched the Scott Pilgrim TV show. We've watched Cats. We have a whole list of things. You made us watch The Idol with The Weeknd, his terrible HBO show. Ugh. So we have so many of these. If you wanted that, please go to our Patreon and you can find out what we thought about all of them. Please, please, please.
Only
$1
and you can listen to every episode. And don't you want to help me better afford titties?
Yes.
You do. Give me $1. And by that, I mean, give both of us $1.
Yeah. And you don't have to give $1. You can give more than $1, honestly.
That's right. If you really want those titties, shell out.
All right. All right. All that is left now that we have plugged the Patreon into oblivion. Lena, are you ready for the next episode?
Sure.
We are going to be doing It Was a Good Day by Ice Cube versus Regulate by Warren G.
God.
And Nate Dogg. We're finally getting Nate Dogg on here.
Shit.
How long I've waited for this day. How long I have waited. Yeah, we literally just talked about this the other day because I continued scolding you about a previous episode. And now here we are. Both of these songs that should have already appeared are now here.
At last. All right. See you then, everybody.